You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Sports Prep Live.
Sports Prep Live.
Where we unbox the mic and talk excellence in athletics. Welcome back to Sports Prep Live, episode 7 of season 2. March Madness has officially started, and just so you all know, there are no perfect brackets remaining in the men's side, and there are exactly 3 left on the women's side. So just had to get that out of the way. Second round just finished up. Sweet 16 is getting started this Thursday. So, you know, we had to come on and do a prep talk about it. Graydon Prescott, KB, you know what it is. KB, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Let's start off first couple of rounds. Stuff started off hot on the men's side. Personally, I picked a couple of upsets that did take place.
Okay.
I have my bracket here. I had Yale beating Auburn. That's a 13 over a 4. That did happen. I also had James Madison beating Wisconsin.
Seriously?
I'm serious. It's here in ink.
In black and white.
In black and white ink. Signed by me. Yours truly. But then again, nobody's perfect, so I missed a few as well.
I would imagine with just those two picks, probably 80% of brackets were obliterated.
Oh, more than 80. I think after Auburn and James Madison, there were like 5,000 perfect brackets left out of 22 million.
Seriously?
Yeah, so that's a lot more than 80%.
99.9999.
Yeah, it's closer to that. Obviously, the men's side is a little bit tougher to predict than the women's, but we still have seen a couple of surprising outcomes on the women's side. First and foremost, Middle Tennessee over Louisville. That was an 11 over
Shocker.
6. Yeah. Down to the wire game. Other than that, nothing really huge. Ohio State, Duke, they all advanced. So it's a little bit more predictable over on the women's side because it's kind of top heavy.
Now, when you say Ohio State advanced, you meant
first round.
Yes.
Second round. But
yeah, there's been an update.
Probably didn't go as expected for them. Once we get to the second round, South Carolina kept doing their thing. North Carolina, they beat them 88-41. Texas advanced 65-54 over Alabama.
Correct.
USC defeated Kansas yesterday, I believe, 73-55.
Juju Watkins doing juju things.
Mm-hmm. Iowa escaped West Virginia by the skin of their teeth.
You call it an escape.
I call it an escape. They were up 10 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, tell us why you call it an escape.
Okay, here's why I call it an escape. And I'm going to go in on this a little bit. I have some things to say.
And for the record, I do know that there are a lot of people out there who share your view.
Yes. I have some things to say about this Iowa team. It concerns me. Caitlin is going to be Caitlin, but when Caitlin has a slightly off shooting night or right. She is well defended, because West Virginia is one of the best teams in the
Hit
country.
Bulls.
They had one of the best defensive teams in the country. That is, they had the best turnover margin, in all of Division I women's basketball.
Yes.
Their turnover margin was plus 8.8. That's the best in women's college basketball. And they defended Caitlin well. The other girls couldn't get it going as much, so they held Iowa to their lowest scoring output of the season, 64
points. The other women
points.
On Iowa's team.
Yeah,
yes.
The other women. Gabby Marshall, I don't think
Ofer.
She scored.
Ofer, yes.
Yeah.
She pulled an Ofer. Shout out to Gabby Marshall.
Kate Martin did okay. Sydney, you know, Hannah played a pretty big game, got a lot of rebounds. But if Caitlin's not scoring 40 points.
Yes.
I don't know if... And if they're playing a strong defensive team, I don't know. Iowa concerns me sometimes. They really do. And they have a tendency to let go of leads. They had a 12-point lead, and then they let that go in the third quarter.
Two or three times during the game.
Yes. But then they got it back up to 10 going into the fourth quarter.
Correct.
So I'm thinking, oh, they're probably just going to, you know, pull away with it, just keep doing what they've been doing, and they'll be fine. Nope. 10 unanswered to start the fourth quarter, and it's a tie game. That's why I say they got away with the skin of their teeth, because it was a two-point game with 90 seconds left. They ended up winning by 10, but that's free throws.
Right.
So, yeah, that's why I say Iowa escaped. It wasn't like South Carolina where they just bodied North Carolina. It wasn't. Texas, they won by 11, so it was a similar margin of victory, sure. But it was kind of a wire-to-wire victory. More comfortable. Same with USC. They won by, I think, 18. Wire-to-wire. They were in control the entire time. So, Sweet 16, Iowa's going to be playing Colorado. USC will play.
Who they faced last year.
Yes, they did.
In the Sweet 16.
Yep, that's right. And
eked out a 10-point victory, I believe, but there was only 1 point separating them at halftime last year.
Was it the second round, I believe?
I thought it was Sweet 16. No, I think it was Sweet 16.
Okay. Yeah, so they played Sweet 16 last year. 10-point win?
Yes.
Sounds about right.
Separated by 1 point at halftime.
Yeah. So they will play Colorado, USC will play Baylor, South Carolina against Indiana, Texas will play Gonzaga. Those are the number one seed teams. We've gotten them out of the way. And then Notre Dame will play Oregon State, and Stanford will play NC State.
Correct. But let's go back to, before we get too far down the road, with respect to the other teams and how they're going to be doing. And there's some great, great teams. On this side of the ledger, you know, the women's bracket. Mm-hmm. Because outside of South Carolina, you really don't know who's going to end up in that championship game. And were it not for South Carolina, you don't know who would be on either side, you know, on that champion. We're assuming South Carolina's going
to
be there.
I didn't pick them to be in my championship game.
You didn't pick South Carolina?
No.
Quiet as Gab, you're whispering. Right? but let me push back a little bit on your vantage point of Iowa squeaking by with a win. Mm-hmm. Let me ask, because I know you watched the game. Yes?
Yep.
Okay, as did I. Could you share with the audience how, of that game that probably went an hour and 30, 40 minutes, mm-hmm. how often, how long in minutes was West Virginia in the lead?
They started off in the lead. But in totality, out of the 40 minutes of game time that they played,
correct.
They probably led for 6 minutes.
Probably, or less.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Caitlin Clark did Caitlin Clark things, even though, and this is why she kind of epitomizes, you know, that superstar, that nirvana of basketball talent in all of college sports, not just women's college sports, because she did take a team that doesn't have any five-star athletes on it other than her and went against, as you pointed out, and quite correctly, one of the most, if not the most, toughest defenses in all of collegiate sports or in all of collegiate basketball. And they concentrated on her. She is not, you can't sneak up on Caitlin Clark, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know she's coming, and she knew they were coming. And still, even though they knew their game plan was to make someone else beat us other than Caitlin Clark, Caitlin still found a way. Stingy defense, but I still think she hit her average for the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the team didn't. Team has been averaging, what, 90, 93 points?
Somewhere around. They came nowhere close.
64 points.
Yeah.
So it was, what, 64 to 54.
Mm-hmm.
But Caitlin had her 32. So in the games that they're averaging 90 points, Caitlin's averaging about 31.8 points, somewhere in there. She had 32 against a very, very stingy defense and scored very little in the fourth quarter.
She didn't make.
I think she maybe had 8 points.
She had 8 free throws in the fourth quarter. That's why I say it was an off night for her.
Yeah.
Even though
she didn't
hit her
shoot
average.
Well.
Exactly. That's why I say
a lot of credit to West Virginia.
Quote unquote off night.
Yes.
That's why I say it was an off night, because of course she still found a way to get it done. But out of those 32 points, probably 14 were free throws. So,
but that's an aspect of the game, right? Finding finding a way, no matter what the obstacles are, to get it done. And that's what she did. I think you're right. She had to go to the free throw line to get some of those points to get into that 30 plus range. But that's what great players do. They find a way. And so I understand that it was a closer game. West Virginia executed their game plan very well. You couldn't have done it better. Mm-hmm. And it was probably great for Iowa that they faced this team, because there's a lot of similarities between the defense that West Virginia uses and the defense that Colorado uses.
I do agree with that. I think this was a test that they needed, especially early in the tournament.
Correct.
Because then that's going to get – their first game was a cakewalk, but this type of game early in the tournament kind of gets you prepared for the rest of the tournament.
Yes.
And they had a similar situation last year in the second round. They played Georgia. And Georgia last year was a tough defensive team.
Yes, yes.
And Caitlin only had 23 points that game, but they still found a way to get it done, and that kind of led them or got them ready for the rest of the tournament, where they played Colorado, Louisville, South Carolina, and then LSU in their next four games.
Right. So that's the point that I'm making, that I think it's actually a positive for Iowa to have gone through this experience. Now, you're not going to always hold Gabby Marshall and Kate Martin and the crew to, you know, less than 15 points total. I think when they're averaging 19.8 or more per game, they have their win record is close to 100%.
Yeah.
When those two, especially Gabby Marshall and Kate Martin, fall under 14 points a game, now they've only lost four games all year, but that's been the similarity between those four losses, that they didn't get the production out of them. Mm-hmm. But here's why I say that I don't necessarily believe this was a squeaky win. Iowa went up two or three times by 10 to 12 points. Did West Virginia ever go up by 10 to 12 points?
No, but that's a concern for me. On the contrary to what you're thinking, even though they did get up 10, 12 points, because they've been doing this all season. You look at their game against Nebraska in the regular season. They were up 12 points heading into the fourth quarter.
Right.
Nebraska came back and beat them. They were up 10 points last night going into the fourth quarter. Now they still won by 10, but it was two with a minute and 52 seconds left.
Right, right.
So I think Iowa gives up leads a little bit too easily.
They do.
Now, it is a game of runs. It always has been. Yes, it always will be. But they give up a lot of runs, especially when they get
They are not the best defensive team.
They held them to 54 points. I will give them that.
I think, well, West Virginia's not a high-scoring team.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was a dogfight. You know, I know we've got to move on to some other teams and some other interesting news coming out of the NCAA coming out of March Madness, especially on the women's side. Issue that I want to raise with you that has given me a lot of consternation, and it's really unfortunate. I don't even know how many folks out there in the audience are aware of this, but it's a big issue, and we'll talk a little bit about it in a few minutes here. Mm-hmm. But just to wrap up on Iowa, I actually think that what they did, you know, yesterday was improvement, because as you've said, they've been in positions where they were up big and they allowed a team to claw back. It's a game of runs. Iowa was up 10 to 12 points on a couple of different occasions. West Virginia made their run, but Iowa never relinquished the lead. And I think that is improvement over what we have seen from them in some of their past games, where they ended up losing as a consequence of not maintaining the lead. So that's all I have to say about that. I'm looking forward to their next battle against Colorado. I think it's going to be eerily similar to the game that they had West Virginia, but I do expect Iowa to be able to pull it out.
Friday night, they got to stop giving up open threes. Saturday night, my apologies.
Yes.
Okay, moving on from Iowa, still on the women's side.
Yes.
UConn is looking good.
Paige Beckers.
Okay, now Geno Smith, her coach.
I heard this. I know where you're going with this.
He said some stuff.
He did.
He said two things. One, and I mean, he's her coach, so what do you expect him to say?
If you look at the analytics.
He said she has been the best player so far in the postseason.
Yes.
So the Big East tournament, conference tournaments, and then the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And he said he believes that Paige is the best player in all of women's college basketball.
He did say that, With a straight face.
Yeah. And
he was serious.
Mm-hmm. I think she's good. I think she's really
She's great.
Good. I think she's one of the best.
She's great.
Is she the best?
But there is a great
Yeah.
She's great. I am a huge fan of Paige Beckers. She is a baller. She plays excellent basketball on both sides of the ball, both ends of the floor. She's a three-level scorer. She's got it in terms of basketball IQ. You know, she's got it between the ears. There is nothing negative that I have to say about Paige Beckers. She is on that All-America team, deservedly so, alongside Caitlin and I think Hannah Hidalgo.
Juju and Cameron Brink.
Juju and then Cameron Brink, yes. For some reason, Elizabeth Kitley was popping into my head, but Kitley didn't make it. And Godspeed to Elizabeth Kitley to get her injury, to heal with her injury. That was a really tough break for Virginia Tech. And shout out to Georgia Amore. Kenny Brooks is leaving, by the way. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. He's headed to Kentucky.
Yeah, he's headed to Kentucky, a coach. Great coach. But yes, you know, I think that Paige is everything that we've laid out here. But what she is not at this moment in time is the best female player in college basketball. That has been wrapped up. That movie's over. Mm. I think everyone is well aware of it. The postseason awards, AP, Naismith, all of that, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Not that she hasn't had a season that would put her in the hunt, but I don't think more so than, say, Juju Watkins. I don't even know if more so than Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame, who's had an outstanding season. Mm-hmm. What else is he going to say as her coach?
Yeah, that's.
I agree with Shannon Sharp. I was watching Shannon Sharp this morning on First Take, and he said, you can tell me what the numbers say, but I'm talking about the eye test. And what my eyes tell me is that she's had a fantastic postseason. She's had an incredible comeback from an injury that probably most athletes wouldn't have come back from to the degree that she has. But she is not this year the one. Mm. She's not.
You know, the numbers say that she's not either. I mean, Caitlin's leading the nation in points with 31.8, next closest.
She is more efficient than Caitlin. Yes, she is. Shout out to Paige Beckers.
Do you think she has a more well-rounded game? Like, just overall, defense, mid-range, finishing, three-point shooting?
I don't know that I would say she has a more well-rounded game, but I would say that she is more of an offensive threat when you consider three-level scoring. Mm. Caitlin doesn't do a lot in terms of mid-range shots. Every now and then she gets into the paint, usually off of a fast break. Sometimes, you know, she comes off of a screen or what have you, and she'll get to the cup. Mm-hmm. Paige breaks people down off the dribble.
Yeah.
Paige has a pull-up mid-range, you know, what I refer to as the kill zone when I'm talking with my kiddos in AAU basketball. She's deadly from mid-range, and she has a three. Obviously, she's not as prolific with the three as Caitlin, but she doesn't have to be. What Paige does have, though, is some ballers surrounding her.
This is true.
And I don't know if you swap just those individuals. And granted, you know, I think right now UConn is dealing with some health issues, but assuming everyone's healthy, I don't know that if you put Caitlin Clark on UConn, that you are walking away with anything but a national championship, and there's no question about it. Mm-hmm. Like, she hasn't had the opportunity, other than USA basketball, you know, vying for gold medals. She hasn't had the opportunity to play with that level of talent around her on the regular.
Yeah.
Not in high school and not in college.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
But she's getting drafted with Aaliyah Boston and
Kelsey Mitchell.
Yeah, that's where I was going next.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She is a scorer.
Yeah.
One thing that I did want to get your take on. Okay. Utah.
Oh, yeah, I know where this is going.
Coached by Lynn Roberts. Shout out to Lynn Roberts. I think what she did for her team, standing up for her team, is commendable. I am really sorry that she and her squad had to deal with what they had to deal with, and I think the NCAA needs to do something about this. Utah was in Idaho. For a game. They were supposed to be in Spokane, Washington, I believe, and the hotels were
30 miles apart.
Yes. The hotels were jam-packed there. And so they didn't get to stay near the facility that they were going to be playing at. And so they were shepherded to a place in I think it's Coeur de Lion.
That sounds right.
In Idaho. Where they went to a hotel. And they left the hotel on Thursday evening to go to have dinner. And en route, and this was just a few blocks. Mm-hmm. They walked this distance. And en route to the hotel, they met up with, or they were accosted. I shouldn't say met up. They were accosted by a gentleman in a pickup truck with Confederate
insignia. I wouldn't use the term gentleman.
Gentleman, you're right. A guy in a pickup truck with Confederate paraphernalia all over the truck. And this guy commenced to terrorize this team with racial epithets, the N-word, other things that we can't and would not repeat here on radio, and I probably wouldn't even want to repeat in private conversation. And then had to turn around within a day and go play basketball games. Mm-hmm. Not only did it happen as they were going to dinner, but then when they left dinner and went back to the hotel,
he gathered
this
more
guy
people.
Went and got more people and continued to terrorize, let's be honest, the African-American women on this team. Mm-hmm. And there's not a ton of them. And engaged in the same behavior. And the fact that they then had to play a game against Gonzaga and the NCAA could not have foreseen this, I think, is shameful.
Yeah.
We need to recognize that there are pockets in this country where these athletes go and there is not a ton of diversity in those areas of the country. And the NCAA needs to recognize that when they are sending teams to these areas for overnight stays or what have you, or they have to travel a little bit within the town, that there needs to be some element of security. Now, they got security after the fact.
Yes. But what good does that do?
Correct. What good does that do? I understand that they're trying to get the Marshal Service and other authorities involved. They're trying to look for videotape. To identify this cretin. But that's a really tough break for a really talented team. And my condolences to them and my hats off to Coach Lynn Roberts for standing up for this squad. Mm-hmm. AD Harlan out there. I mean, just the whole administration for Utah. I think Gonzaga had some of the right things to say, but I think by that time it was, you know, by the time they came out with a statement, that there was nothing really that could be said. This is something that you need to have a little bit of forethought and understand that in places like, and I hate to besmirch cities or states, but in places like Idaho, right, even in places like Washington, Oklahoma, there's a number of cities where this sort of racial antagonism has been prevalent, that the NCAA needs to get on the front side of that and to recognize that they need to do something to protect not only these young women, but college players in general. Yes. That's all I have to say on that.
And I'm going to add something a little bit here. This is obviously much more important than basketball.
Right.
There are more important things in life. There are more important things than sports. And this is something that you never want to see happen to anybody. But I think this is a bigger reflection on the NCAA more than anything because, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, this would not have happened to a men's team.
Correct.
And here's why I say this. There is no chance that the NCAA will allow a men's team to play in Washington and have to stay at a hotel 30 miles away. That would not happen.
That is also true.
That would not happen. And because that happened, Then you start to get into more nuanced things. Okay, does the NCAA care about the women's teams nearly as much as they do the men's? It's disappointing to see. It's disappointing that we have to have this conversation because at the end of the day, it's basketball.
Right.
Everybody's playing the same sport. Everybody has the same passion, the same drive. They work just as hard to play this sport.
Right, right.
And to see the women treated less than the men because of who knows what, just because they're women, just because it's not as exciting as men basketball.
Which is no longer true.
No, not at all. That's why, air quotes, not as exciting
right, right.
as
a little
the
bit
men's
of sarcasm.
Basketball. Yeah. You don't want to see anything like this.
It's and certainly... It's a black eye for the tournament, and it is completely unfair to Utah because there is no way that you go in and play a game against Gonzaga. I think they lost by maybe 9 or 11 points or something like that.
Yes.
And that is not in the back of your head the entire game. For the moment that it happens, I can't imagine how they even slept that evening.
I don't think they did.
I can imagine them being visibly shaken.
Yeah.
Like literally visibly shaken. And that stays with you for longer than the whatever amount of time that, you know, they actually had to hear this nonsense. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what could have been done, but it is exceedingly unfair to Utah that they then had to play a tournament game within 24 hours of something like this happening.
There's not much you can do about what could have been done after the fact, but I'll tell you what could have been done. You take care of it before the fact. Don't let them go to a town 30 miles away in Idaho when they play in Washington. Get them a hotel in Washington near the arena. Get them their resorts just like the men's get.
Or have them escorted like they did following this incident.
Exactly.
But again, that didn't help.
And this wasn't the only case where a women's team was treated a little bit differently than a men's team. Same tournament this year, Michigan loses. They have to get their flight back home, and they end up having to stay, I think, two extra nights because they couldn't get a flight.
Right.
Again, not going to happen on the men's side. So it's the repeated process that just keeps happening.
Or offenses, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the repeated offenses that keep on happening on the women's side that you don't see on the men's side. And it's really concerning, and something needs to be done about it. And I hope that soon enough something will be done because it's unacceptable. It's a bad look for the NCAA.
It is.
And it's a bad look for college basketball.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, we started down this road a few years ago with the whole weight room incident that went viral. You know, the men's side having basically a health club, you know, to work out in. And then I think the women were provided, and this was at an actual NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
A rack of weights from 10 to 2.5 pounds and a stationary bike. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So NCAA needs to get it together. The women have lifted the profile of this sport. It's going to be the most exciting games this season are going to be on the women's side, just as they were last year.
Yep.
So shout out to all of the women that have not only paved the way before this generation of players, but but in addition to this generation of players, and the NCAA, you guys need to get it together.
And I'm going to just end it with something that Shaquille O'Neal, the great Shaquille O'Neal, said about this tournament, these two tournaments going on. I'm not watching the men's tournament. We don't care about the men's tournament.
Yes.
We're here for
yes.
the women.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Sports Prep Live. It was a great conversation. Hope to see you next time. And as always, have a great day, everybody. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Sports Prep Live. I'm Graydon Prescott. And don't forget to catch all of our episodes on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Sports Prep Live. Thank you.